Galatians 6:8, whoever sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Galatians 6:8, whoever sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Galatians 6:8. Proverbs 11:20. Assuredly, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be delivered. Proverbs 11:20. Assuredly, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be delivered. Proverbs 11:20. Proverbs 20:22. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will strengthen you. Proverbs 20:22. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will strengthen you. Proverbs 20:22. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. Children, please stand for Bible class. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. God is good to us to allow us the privilege of having the completed canon of Scripture, the Bible, the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, logistical provisions. We're all the recipients of God's grace and God's blessings. It is so good that we're able to be here to open our hearts and minds to the presentation and communication and dissemination of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. May we pray together, please. Father, we are the recipients of your grace, and we thank you for it. We're thankful that you care for us and love us and have blessed us all so richly. Help us to understand that you have a purpose and a plan for each one of us. We pray that we will be able to see that while we're here on this earth, that we're not here just by accident. We're here on purpose. And you put us here and you have a reason for our existence. We pray that we will be aware of this and that we will take advantage of the opportunities to study and to advance and to be able to have divine viewpoint, see from God's vantage point, not human vantage point, that we might be able to be an influence and a blessing to others, especially those who are unsaved, that they may be able to see salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in us, that they might be able to not only see us in our testimony, but be able to witness the happiness and the joy and the peace, the contentment that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'll guide us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The question that I have at the beginning of this service today is, do we allow the weak to control us? Do we allow the weak to control us? All of us have friends and loved ones, neighbors. All of us have associations. You're thinking for a few moments about that. Realize that we can either be influenced properly or we can influence others properly or not be influenced properly. I believe that when you look into the Word of God in the Old Testament, you will discover that Jezebel is an example of the wrong system controlling. When you take a look at the beginning chapters of the book of Genesis, you'll discover that Adam looked at the first sinner and was tempted. When I think in terms of that, I top myself a note, decision time. Attention, I typed in capital letters. I reminded myself of the responsibility that we have in life to be sure that we are in the divine system and that we stay put, or else we understand that disaster will come. The weak controlling the strong. You and I have responsibilities every single day in our association with other individuals. It may be, again, some friends. It may be our neighbors. It may be some relatives. We all have those with whom we associate. The individuals with whom we associate are either believers in the Lord Jesus Christ or they're not. If they're not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's a responsibility that you and I have for them to be able to see Christ in us. If we are influenced by someone who is a believer but who is not living according to God's plan, they're weak. If we're not careful, we can be influenced by those weak individuals. Jezebel, I believe, is an example of one who could control someone else. The weak being controlled by someone who's on the wrong track. I typed it out like this: the weak controlling the strong. Solution, do we allow the weak to control us? We either choose the evil system on a day-by-day basis, or we choose the grace system. So we emphasize the evil system or the grace system. What we're going to be doing over the coming weeks is to be giving you some information. I trust that we'll be able to give it slowly enough that you'll take some notes. We need to be able to understand something about the subject of evil. When you look at Ephesians 5:16, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We mentioned the fact that the particular verb here, redeeming, is in the middle voice. We've emphasized something, and I believe all of you ought to remember this, that when you have a verb in the middle voice, if the emphasis is positive, then the influence is positive. If the influence is evil, then the influence is also evil. So here's a middle voice, redeeming the time for the days are evil, showing to us that the subject of evil times, evil influence, evil thinking, we can be influenced by evil. And when we are influenced by evil, that means that it is not to our benefit. That's the reason why it's a middle voice. We are not benefited if we choose to go in that direction. Evil is a system of thinking. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to, over the coming weeks, take notes. Please write, evil is a system that is opposed to divine truth. This system of evil is a system of thinking that is opposed to God's thinking, both in the area of belief and in the area of behavior. I'm aware of the fact that I'm going to be giving some Greek words. You may or may not want these, but that's okay. It would be good if you would put down these words and then be able to remember how powerful these words are. One of the words that we're going to be seeing is kakos, K-A-K-O-S. It is translated evil, K-A-K-O-S. Here it is transliterated. Here it is in the Greek. If you're interested in learning the Greek, that's fine. If you're not, that's okay too. I put down the word transliterated from the Greek to the English. I'll let you see it from the English translation. Then I'll let you see it in the Greek. I try to define each one of these words for you. It is translated evil. It is the Greek word kakos, K-A-K-O-S. Here's the way it looks in the English, transliterated. Here's the way it looks in the Greek, K-A-K-O-S. I could go into details in relationship to second declension nouns and emphasize the fact that the suffixes, the last letters on a word, will let you be able to see how that word is used in the sentence. This is one of the beautiful things about the language. And that is, if I see an omicron sigma, the last two letters of a word in the Greek, I understand that it is a word that is used as the subject of the sentence. Now, that may not ring your bell, and that's okay if it doesn't. But what I want you to be able to see is there's a reason for us learning the language. This is the reason why I want these young ministers to learn the language. We're now getting ready to get into the second declension nouns. I'll be presenting some of this information from the pulpit just in passing, but they're learning it. I am so thankful and proud of these young men and how they are learning and advancing in the language. Here is the word K-A-K-O-S, and that has the last two letters is omicron sigma. When you see that way, the way it's used in a sentence, it shows you that that is a word, second declension noun is used as the subject of the sentence. Right here, we're just presenting a word, kakos, and the word means opposed to the goodness or the character of God. Kakos is evil, opposed to the goodness or the character of God. The second word that you see on the screen is poneros, P-O-N-E-R-O-S. Here it is transliterated. Here it is in the Greek, P-O-N-E-R-O-S, translated evil. All I'm trying to do is to let you see that when you come to the original language, there are various words. Many of these words are translated in the same way, but you have to understand how they're used in the sentence. Poneros, for instance, is a word from which we get our English word pornography. Poneros is a word which means opposed to divine viewpoint. Opposed to divine viewpoint. There's a reason why I'm giving you this. There's a reason for me to be able to spell this out for you so that you'll be able in the future, as we're analyzing certain verses from the original language, you'll see and you'll recognize immediately and you'll understand how that word is being used. The next word that you see on the screen is the word phalos, P-H-A-U-L-O-S. Here it is transliterated. Here it is in the Greek, P-H-A-U-L-O-S. What is exciting to me is that these young guys and girls sitting on the back row, what they're doing is they're taking these letters down and they're analyzing it. And what they're going to be able to do in the future is to see those same letters in other places and they'll know what it is in the Greek language. I am excited about that. Just stay with me, young people. It's for your good. Phalos, P-H-A-U-L-O-S. That's the way it looks. It's transliterated from the Greek to the English. Here's the way it looks in the Greek, P-H-A-U-L-O-S. And that word means opposed to divine good. I'm going over this slowly enough for you to be able to take it down. We've seen some words, kakos, evil, opposed to goodness or character, poneros, opposed to divine viewpoint, phalos, opposed to divine good. Just in case you couldn't see it very well, you know how kind and gracious I am. I just did it large enough for you to see it. There it is spelled out for you again. K-A-K-O-S, English, Greek. Poneros, English, Greek. Phalos, English, Greek. All right, so much for some words. The word evil actually means the modus operandi of Satan. The procedure, the process, the steps. So when I talk about evil, I'm talking about evil as the modus operandi of Satan. Go back to the beginning here. Evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth, both in belief and behavior. And then I presented those words. I don't think you have any trouble with that. I just wanted you to see it. Now, in the light of what I've just presented, let's look at our scripture, Ephesians 5:16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And notice how the word is presented to us here. You can see that it's similar to one of the Greek words that we've given you. A verse of scripture that you need to write down now is 3 John 2. 3 John 2, not 11, but 2. Which says, beloved, imitate not the evil, but the good. The one doing good out of God is. The one doing evil has not become acquainted with God. Can you see that all right? 3 John 2. Beloved, imitate not the evil, but the good. The one doing good out of God is. The one doing evil has not become aware and acquainted with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, which says, from all manner of evil, keep your distance. I thought this was unique because some weeks ago, Dennis Heckethorn gave us this translation from the German, and he said, from all manner of evil, keep your distance. I thought that was a unique translation. You and I have the responsibility of living on a daily basis inside of the divine power sphere. We can choose to do that or not do that. If we're living inside of that power sphere, which is divine, it means that we're in harmony with the Lord. We're right with the Lord. If and when temptation comes our way, and we say no to that temptation, If we say no to temptation, we continue in fellowship with our Lord. If we are enticed by that temptation, enamored by that temptation, allured by that temptation, and we say yes to that temptation, then automatically we're knocked out of harmony, out of fellowship with the Lord. We're still a believer if we're a believer, but now we're out of harmony, out of fellowship, and we're under the control of our old sinful nature. Being under the control of our sinful nature, we will do one of two things. Either we will grieve the Holy Spirit or quench the Holy Spirit. Some of you are saying, I've heard this so many times, preacher. Do I need to hear it again? Yes, you surely do. Because I believe if I came and sat by you and asked you the question, do you understand what I'm saying? You may or may not. And I just don't want to take a chance on you not understanding. Grieving the Holy Spirit simply means that you've said yes to temptation. You've been knocked out of fellowship. You're under the control of your sinful nature. You have a decision to make now. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand how wonderful it is to be in fellowship. You understand that you're not to stay out of fellowship for any period of time. And so you don't want to continue to grieve the Holy Spirit to get to the point of quenching the Holy Spirit. So you realize that you need to be back in fellowship, and you admit your faults and failures and sins, 1 John 1:9, and you're immediately back in harmony and in fellowship, and you're back in the divine power sphere. We call that being in the divine dynasphere. Let's put it down like this. There is an evil system of comprehension, or a grace system of comprehension. I'll put it down simply for you, ESC or GSC. I would encourage you to write this out. ESC stands for evil system of comprehension. GSC stands for grace system of comprehension. Now let's drop down to 1. Evil is the name of Satan's policy. It could be classified as good, but it is human good and not God's good. It could be one of these words that I've just given you for evil: kaikos, panaros, phalos, any one of those. If it's God's good, it's agathos, which is intrinsic good, divine good, God's good. Grace, 2, is the name of God's plan, which only goes where it is desired. Grace is God's plan, which goes where anyone desires God's plan. On the other hand, look at evil. 1, sin and evil were both originated by Satan. Sin, 2, was judged and paid for on the cross, but evil was not paid for on the cross. I'm aware of the fact that this has to be heard, and then we have to metabolize it. We have to comprehend it. It has to be put into our blender, so to speak, and the power turned on and it mixed with faith so that we can understand it. Just hearing the words won't do it for you. It's got to be taken in, blended with faith, accepted, and then begin to be understood. In one of the next verses in our Ephesian passage, it speaks of being able to understand or comprehend. So sin and evil were both originated by Satan. Sin was judged and paid for on the cross. Evil was not bought and paid for on the cross. Number three, the only way a believer can tell the difference between sin and evil is to know what God's Word says. The reason why many people do not comprehend, do not understand, and live a life of frustration and bewilderment, confusion, is because they have not learned enough to be able to understand the difference between sin and evil. The only way a believer can tell the difference between the two is to know what God's Word says. That's why we're teaching what we're teaching on the subject of evil. Number four, sin comes out from the source of the old sinful nature, which includes lying, overt activities, gossiping, maligning, sins of the tongue such as jealousy, anger, sins of the mind. If you want to write these down, it would be helpful to see it. Sin comes from the source of the old sinful nature, which includes all of these various things, such as lying and overt activities, gossiping, maligning, sins of the tongue, jealousy, anger, sins of the mind. Some of you are saying, back up a little bit, please. Evil system of comprehension. Grace system of comprehension. Evil defined. Evil is the name of Satan's policy. It is good, it's human good oftentimes, and evil. Grace is the name of God's plan, which only goes where it is desired. We jump to evil, introduce. Sin and evil were both originated with Satan. Sin was judged and paid for on the cross. Evil was not. The only way a believer can tell the difference is between the two is to know God's Word. Sin comes out from the source of the old sinful nature, includes things like lying and overt activities and gossiping, maligning, sins of the tongue, jealousy, anger, sins of the mind. But look at this. Number five. This is powerful indeed. Evil comes from the heart. The scripture calls it the cardia. The cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A, in the Greek, is the mentality of the soul. Evil comes from the mentality of the soul. The thinking part of the soul. Grace, number six, is the genius of God. And God's genius is revealed by the Word of God. If we want to know about God, we have to know God's Word. The Scripture demands us and commands us to be aware of those who are practicing evil. I'm trying to go slowly enough for you to take this down. We're commanded in the Scripture to be aware of those around us who are practicing evil, satanic thinking. Greek words, kaikos, evil, poneros, evil, phalos, evil, satanic thinking. On the other hand, agathos, God's thinking, that which is of intrinsic good. You and I either have satanic thinking or God's thinking. We will not have God's thinking unless we think the thoughts of our Lord and have the mind of Jesus Christ. We're commanded to be aware of those around us practicing satanic thinking, evil. Notice an application now. Just because Satan was sentenced to the lake of fire does not mean that we can diminish his power today. Just because Satan was sentenced to the lake of fire does not mean that we can diminish the power today. Another application too. Just because God is more powerful than Satan does not mean that you will choose God's control and be protected from Satan's control. Just because God is more powerful than Satan does not necessarily mean that you and I will choose God's control and be protected from Satan's control. Subpoint three. Satan's policy or plan of evil can be compared to a layer of the ozone, filtering the air we breathe and polluting, smothering, suffocating our physical bodies. The pollution of our thinking is certain unless we are protected by the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see what is being said here? Our thinking can be polluted. The pollution of our thinking is certain unless we're protected by the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, saturating our souls. I've been in this in the last few days thinking about it. How am I going to explain to people whom I love so dearly and the fact that you and I need to be able to see this clearly and understand it? It is not something that we can just say, oh, hum to, and forget it, and say, what difference does it make, what the preacher is saying? It makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in the world for me. It makes all the difference in the world for you as an individual believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I cannot say that I could come here and be true to you without telling you these things. Satan is tricky. I put it down as number four. Satan is tricky and is filled with propaganda, false news. In fact, he has more followers in human good than any other outright sin. Satan is tricky. There are a lot of areas of pollution going on in the area of thinking. You see it on television. You hear it on the radio. You read it in the newspapers. A lot of areas of pollution, satanic thinking. Not divine thinking, not vertical viewpoint, but horizontal viewpoint, satanic pollution. And there are a lot of followers out there of what would be classified as satanic thinking, and some of those areas appear to be good, human good. But it's outright disobedience and sin. We're not going to stay much longer. Number five. Any system which undermines God's perfect setup of divine institutions is evil. Any system which undermines God's perfect setup of divine institutions is evil. When I say divine institutions, do you understand what I'm saying? The laws of divine institution Have you heard this enough over the years to know what I'm talking about? Laws of divine institution. Could I name them quickly, just briefly? Choice, volition. Marriage. Family, home, nationalism. I just quickly listed it. It is obvious, number six, to most all believers that Satan worship is wrong. But what is not obvious to most believers today is evil, satanic thinking. Evil is related always to Satan. When I go to the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 21, and Luke, chapter 8, verse 2, and Acts 19, 12, I read something that's startling. Satan has angels. And the angels that Satan has are called evil spirits. Luke 7, 21, Luke 8, 2, Acts 19, 12, and 16. When I go to the book of Galatians, I discover that Satan's domain is called evil. When I go to 1 Thessalonians 5:22, I read that Satan's policy is called evil. I read in 2 Timothy 3:13, those under Satan's control are called evil men. 2 Timothy 3:13. Those under Satan's control are called evil men. You're not going to be hearing this very much from the pulpits of our day. Number five, Satan's administrators are called inventors of evil in Romans 1:30. If you want to read a startling chapter in the Bible, read chapter 1 of Romans. I love the way you listen. Time to go, but let me give you this verse. Proverbs 16:6. By the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. Now, fear there is not the word which means to be afraid. It means to be occupied. So I put down OWC, occupied with Christ. By the occupation with Christ, one is able to keep away from evil. You may want to write this one down. If you're inside the divine dynasphere, the battle is the Lord's. And you and I win. Inside the cosmic system, the battle is yours and mine, and we lose. You want a copy of that? Inside the divine dynasphere, the battle is the Lord's, and you and I win. Inside the cosmic system, the battle is ours, yours, mine, you lose. There are no real winners in the cosmic system. Different categories of losers. There are no real winners in that system which is satanic. Just different categories of losers. Among the categories of losers are the groups who follow the principle of being controlled by the weak. Then I put down this. There are no losers in the divine dynasphere, just categories of winners. May we pray together, please. Father, we are thankful that we can think about these things. We're aware of the fact that each one of us in this auditorium today, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have the responsibility of making decisions alone inside of our own lives, to be under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, to find ourselves as happy, radiant, triumphant, victorious believers. This is challenging to us as we continue over coming weeks to analyze these thoughts. Help us to be able to see it more clearly day by day. And for those today who hear my voice, who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to see that God loves them and Christ died for them, and they can believe and accept you and be saved, because that's what the Bible says. We thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.